Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Coke and water.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Coca-Cola could be making a splash with the purchase of another bottled water company. Just last week, it brought Glasso of New York. Today, there's talk Coke could take over Britain's second biggest mineral water supplier. Stephen Beard reports from London.
Coke is reportedly ready to pay up to $1 billion for the Highland Spring mineral water firm. Neither company will confirm the story, but Coke has had its eye on Britain's bottled water market for years. It's growing much faster than the carbonated drinks market. The problem for Coke has been finding a British company like Highland which owns an actual mineral spring. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment.
What has happened in Europe, of course, is there's been a great history of having bottled water from original sources, and these are very carefully controlled as to what they are. Whereas, obviously, in America, you get bottled water, which is purified water, perfectly fresh, but not necessarily from original spring.
That cultural difference between the US and Europe led to Coke's biggest marketing disaster in Britain. The company was forced to withdraw its Dasani brand here after horrified consumers learned that it was merely purified tap water with minerals added. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There's more takeover buzz surrounding the aluminum maker Alcan. The Canadian firm has already rejected a hostile offer from Alcoa. There were reports Alcan was favoring a deal with Australia's mining giant BHP Billiton. Today, Australian press says an Anglo-Australian mining company, Rio Tinto, is preparing a bid for Alcan. Asian markets shot up today. In China, the Shanghai Composite Index rose more than 1.5%. Stocks in South Korea hit a record high, and in Tokyo, the Nikkei climbed 106 points. In Europe, markets in Britain and Germany are closed due to public holidays, and Wall Street is quiet due to the Memorial Day holiday. India has more than 1 billion people, but fewer hotel rooms than Vegas. Because of the shortage, high-end hotels can easily charge $400 a night for rooms. Sounds like a business opportunity. And that's what Best Western must have thought. The world's largest hotel chain is planning to invest $1.2 billion over the next 10 years in India. That'll translate into about 100 new hotels. Today is Memorial Day, which is a holiday for most people. Of course, I'm working, and it seems so are a lot of you. A study from Yahoo Hot Jobs found that nearly half of American workers don't take all their vacation days. What's wrong with us? Do we love our jobs that much? Not quite. Stacey Vanek Smith takes a look.
Most U.S. workers get about 10 days of paid vacation a year. In France and Germany, they get about 40 days off. They also have about three times the number of holidays we do. Despite that, 45% of U.S. workers surveyed said they don't use all of their vacation. John Challenger is the CEO of outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. He says, yes, we are workaholics, but this is also a sign of the times.
Americans are not only obsessed with work, but they're also more insecure about their jobs than they used to be. So taking all your vacation days is sometimes risky. You worry that maybe your boss is going to see you away and give the plum assignments to someone else.
And even people who are taking vacations aren't always getting away. 40% of workers surveyed said when they did have time off, they were too exhausted to take a real vacation. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
This may be a relaxing day off for a lot of Americans, but not those running for president. For them, there's no slacking off from here to the primaries. Until then, politicians will be doing everything they can to create buzz. In fact, many of the presidential hopefuls have created pages on the popular social networking space, MySpace. We asked Youth Radio's Alana Germany to check it out.
MySpace is my life. I'm on almost 24/7, but I still don't understand why presidential candidates would want to be on MySpace.
It's an inexpensive way to reach an audience that sometimes gets ignored, younger people.
That's Joe Tooman, a professor of speech and communications at San Francisco State University.
It's a great place to recruit people to work in your campaign, and it's an interesting place to think about how you can do fundraising.
20-year-old Quincy Mosby is one of the thousands of MySpace users whom candidates have reached. He friend-requested Barack Obama in hopes of linking to the senator's profile and rallying support for his candidate.
I like to think that, you know, by having him up there, that'll make them think about, hey, maybe I should vote for that guy, because he's on Quincy's page, and Quincy seems to be not such a bad dude.
And take it from an expert. In a place like MySpace, that's like a big popularity contest, a lot is riding on how you present yourself.
Well, I'm Hillary Clinton, and I'm running for president.
The upside of Hillary Clinton's site is there's a lot to look at. The downside is all the merchandise she displays, which is kind of tacky. It's also interesting that there's no sign of Bill around. John McCain's MySpace layout is ridiculously boring. A dark background with hazy white stars. As you scroll down his page, the stars disappear and you descend into blackness. I hope that's not what his presidency will be like if he's elected. Mitt Romney goes wrong in his picture section. They're all of him at rallies, shaking hands here, giving hugs there. Please, the baby kissing bit is the oldest trick in the book. John Edwards' page is my favorite. MySpace is all about being yourself. And in his pictures, he's playing with his children on the beach and having lunch with volunteers during a cleanup after Hurricane Katrina. So what are the presidential campaigns ultimately hoping to get out of their social networking profiles? Professor Joe Tooman says, in the end, no matter what the platform, candidates are still commodities.
They're packaged like products, and the prettier and more appealing you can make something, the more likely you are to sell it.
I'm Alana Germany for Marketplace.
This story was produced by Youth Radio. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.